When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your moves.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Variety Radio Online. Tonight, we're going to be talking to a special guest. His name is Chad Collins. I'm very excited to speak to him. Me and Amy, my co-host, is here tonight. We're missing Elizabeth. And we're going to talk to Chad about Once Upon a Time and what he has going on in his career. Also, we want to give a shout-out to Boston. We want to let Boston know that the VRO loves you. We're praying for the city, and we know that Boston's a strong city, and you'll get through all of this with all the support around you.
And our host Jess and her boyfriend Eric are fine. They were nowhere near the blast, thank God, this morning. But, yeah, our love to Boston. By the way, we have Chad on the phone line.
Hello, Chad.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you bet. So, Chad, this is Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Hey. And I'm Amy.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you doing tonight?
I'm great. How are you,
awesome.
Gals?
We're doing good. So most of our questions were sent in by fans because we love Once Upon a Time. We recap it every Monday night. We are missing it right now. So,
oh, no.
So all the questions are sent in by fans, so we're just going to go ahead and jump into the questions. We're going to let Michelle start the first half of the questions, and then I'm going to bring in Lori from Enchanted Con because
they
announced that you're going to be there.
Hi, Lori.
And
cool.
We're going to talk about that, and then we'll end the show.
Sounds good. Go ahead,
Michelle.
Okay. So,
fire away.
All right. Working on Once Upon a Time, what was it like? Because we're so intrigued. The sets are amazing. The costumes are amazing. So what did it feel like being on that set?
Well, first of all, as you all know, it shoots in rainy Vancouver. And I was up there, I think, for about 8 days. And it was dark skies and rain for 7. So I was on set most of the time. There's only a couple scenes where we went to a location and did a night shoot up in a beautiful little forest space, and it was amazing. But we were mostly on set and just kind of surrounded by a green screen. And one day it was a blue screen. So a big old sound stage with just a big old curtain surrounding us with little set pieces and pieces of furniture. That we, you know, got to act in and around, but everything else was added in digitally, as far as the walls and the ceilings and all that fun stuff. So it was pretty wild.
That's cool. It sounds like you may have answered the next question, but was there a favorite moment or a special scene that you really, really enjoyed? It sounded like the forest may have been pretty special. So
the forest was really cool. I mean, it was literally pouring, and I don't know how much of that actually came through in the episode. It was hard to tell with the black and white, but we were drenched. You know, I had this big purple wool cloak that saved my life. It's the only thing that kept me remotely dry underneath. But that was fun. It was just fun to see it, and the way they had the lights and the smoke pushing through all the trees. And we shot at a legitimate cemetery, and so that was pretty cool and kind of added to the spooky corpse. Grave robbing vibe. So that was a lot of fun. I have to say that my favorite scene was probably with when I get to beat up Dad. And that was a lot of fun to do. And they actually brought a stunt guy in there, and I got to kind of actually, they put sandbags on his chest, and I kind of got to hammer punch on this big man who could easily take me and kind of let loose on him like he was Dad and I was out of control. So But it was a good scene, and it was kind of a fun chance to play the monster and experience that. But all, you know, Gregory Itzen, who played dear old dad, and David Anders are such great actors, and it's just fun to watch them go to work and play with them.
Speaking of David Anders, we've interviewed him, met him, talked to him 100 times. He seems to always be a jokester. He likes to keep things fun. Do you have any David moments that you can share with the fans?
David, big bro. Yeah, he's completely as advertised. We had a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. You know, I before I ever even decided I wanted to try the acting thing on for size, I was a huge fan of Alias. If anybody ever watched J.J. Abrams' breakout show with Jennifer Garner, he was on Alias, and he was such a great actor, and he was a young guy, and he was playing this wise beyond his years British double agent spy, and you could never guess him from which side he was on. He was incredible. He was one of the best supporting actors on that show. So I've always been a big fan of his. So to get to work with him was a lot of fun for me, and to get to know him personally, he is all that. You know, he's just a very cool, down to earth guy. We had a lot of fun. He's got a wicked sense of humor. So even when we were not joking around on set right up until action, we were offset having a laugh, watching some sports, and having some beers. So he was a lot of fun to get to know personally, and I'm happy to hear that he's going to be at the EnchantaCon, and hopefully we can get into some more hijinks together.
Oh, that will be so much trouble. No, we're excited, though.
I hope so.
Speaking of your costume and the role you played, one of the fans asked, how long did it take to maybe for you get into makeup and the role? Were you in makeup and costume for a long time?
I was, yeah. When I became the monster and I was shooting that stuff, it took a team of about 3, sometimes 4, if they were in a rush, very talented hair, makeup, and mostly makeup and special effects makeup people to come in and do me up with all my stitch work and all the modeling, and they kind of grayed my skin and kind of made me look more corpse-like and all that stuff, and they had the little blue veins going, and it was really, really fantastic. So it took about 3 hours in that makeup chair just to get me ready to go, waist up. And it took about another hour and a half to get it all off me. So every day I started to work, it was 3 hours in that chair. And about an hour and a half to take it off. And it gave me a whole new level of respect for these guys that do the sci-fi series.
Mm-hmm.
And they're shooting 8 days, you know, in an episode, having to do 4 to 6 hours every single day. I couldn't imagine it. But luckily they were really talented and very cool, and we would just kind of fire up the iPod and just have a little dance party. Well, everybody else was dancing except me. I was having a whole still.
That's great. One life to live. Once upon a time, and other roles that you have done, you seem to sometimes have a military background. Do you gravitate to these roles, or is there something about these roles that draw you in, since you have several military roles?
You know, I love playing the cop and the soldier, and you know, I'm a bit of a Boy Scout myself, and almost went into the armed forces when I was younger and coming out of college. So, and I, you know, I've got a lot of family that are cops and a lot of veterans in my family. So, you know, and I grew up with G.I. Joe, and it's always been a thing that I've loved, and for some reason, I find myself in these roles, but I absolutely love them. And you know, I always tell the story that before I decided to even become an actor, one of the things I was really so into was Band of Brothers, that World War II miniseries on HBO that Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks did. And I was just so engrossed by it and the experience of these soldiers. And I said, man, wouldn't it be cool if I could just be an actor or be an extra and just run around and play in the mud with a gun and not have to, you know, do what soldiers really have to do at the end of the day, but just be able to pretend to do it. And it's kind of funny. Fast forward, I just did a movie called Company of Heroes where I got to do just that, play a World War II soldier. And I love it. I could play soldier for the rest of my career, and you can typecast me all you want. Some actors complain about it. I would not have a problem with it. So they find me, and I welcome them every time.
That's great. And speaking of Company of Heroes, you play Nate, and did you have to, I mean, that movie has, I mean, some obviously history and some seriousness in it. Did you do any prep work for that character and story background?
You know, I didn't, because this was the character of Nate, you know, for those that haven't seen the movie, it's World War II, it's the end, it's the twilight, you know, we're on Hitler's doorstep, we're right next door in Belgium, and we're pushing through the forest, and it kind of leads up to the Battle of the Bulge, which was Hitler kind of gives it one last go and fights back and kind of almost breaks our line, and we all don't expect it. It's around Christmas time, it's 1944, so we, you know, our group, some of them are grizzled veterans ready to get out of there, and I'm just off the boat. I'm just kind of one of these replacements, and I've been there for 2 or 3 weeks. I've got zero experience. I'm a young guy. I'm wet behind the ears. So for me, even though I've done and had some training for some of the other military stuff I've done, I the less the better for me.
Okay.
You know, he kind of, Nate comes in, and he finds out he's a natural, but it's through no training of his own, and he definitely has his moments where he freezes and he's a little wide-eyed, and so I didn't do any specific training for it. I figured the less I knew going in, the better. Just show up on set and let's see what happens, because this is kind of the world that this kid's living in.
Now,
so, I training.
Oh yeah. So you have, sorry about that. So you have done, you've been a chef, you've been a officer, you've done war, zombies, Frankenstein, you've fought giant crocs. You
yep.
have done it all. So is there any one set that you really enjoyed working on far as a set for some of the things you've done?
And what a blessed life actors live, huh? To get to do all those things?
I know. You, what fun.
And for a living. There's nothing better for me. So I would have to say, as far as a set goes, this movie I did called Sniper Reloaded with the wonderful Billy Zane. We did this for Sony. It was a reboot of the Sniper film franchise that Tom Berenger did, and I played Tom Berenger's son. But when we did this a few years ago, we got to shoot on location a little bit, I believe it was north or south of Johannesburg, which is the capital of South Africa. And we shot on a legit wildlife game preserve. And you'd be shooting a scene and a giraffe would come up and just kind of knock over the lighting. Or you'd have to cut a take because wildebeest would be crashing 50 yards through the middle of a forest down the way a little bit. And zebras, ostriches, you have to drive around them. They're not moving for you. And it was wild. It was literally wild. It was fantastic to just kind of be around the occasional elephant and giraffe roaming through, seeing zebras and that sort of thing for the first time. And that was, for about 3 of the 4 weeks we were there, that was my experience, working, you know, right out in the bush belt, it's called, the high grasslands of South Africa with all this nature. It was incredible.
Working with different directors and producers and everything, I know they're all amazing, the work they do, but does anyone, one of them stand out to you in the way they direct, in the way they bring things to life? Does one of them stand out to, you know, just to be amazing with some of the things they do on set?
Well, they say, you know, they say in television, it's the writer's medium, and TV directors there to basically steer the ship. And they don't have the benefit of time to work with actors like I'm sure they would. Some of them do, and they do make the time. And they, like, for instance, Mylan Chaylov, who did my episode of Once Upon a Time, he was fantastic. He's an actor's director because he was a former actor, and he ran an acting school and all that sort of stuff. So it was great being able to get direction from him for this particular episode. But it's not always the case with TV, especially for if you're coming on to do a supporting role or a guest role. So you really build these relationships when you get to do a film, and I've been blessed to do a film with some really cool directors, and I would have to say Claudio Fay, who's a Swiss-American guy who directed Sniper Reloaded. We had a lot of fun doing 24 days on that shoot in South Africa, and we worked very hands-on together, so he's a good friend of mine now, and in this last movie I did, this Company of Heroes movie, with a really great teddy bear of a man named Don Michael Paul, who just had amazing energy and got everybody to really pitch in and give 110% and let the actors do their thing. He came from an acting background as well. He was a successful actor, and directing's always been where he wanted to move, and he's moved on to it, and he let actors do their thing, and he got out of their way, and it was a really nice thing, and he kind of corralled it when he needed to, but he let people go and do their own thing when they wanted to and had the instinct to. So it was a really nice collaborative experience with him as well. So the film guys, you're there for 4, 5, 6 weeks, sometimes longer if you've got a bigger budget, and you can really have that creative relationship kind of flowing more so than in TV.
Very cool. Okay, now I know a secret that you enjoy to read and you love comics. I'm a comic geek myself.
Yep. All right.
So I have to ask how you feel. I'm sitting here thinking I could go so many routes with comics, but one is maybe what's your favorite title right now, and how did you feel about the 52 change in DC Universe?
Well, I'll confess that I grew up with comics, and I would just reread them, because I was a kid and I didn't have very much money, so I'd reread the comics, and then I'd start drawing the comics. But I read a lot of comics when I was younger, and I've always kind of kept pace. I know people who have a $300 a month comic book habit. I'm certainly not that guy. I'd rather own my truck first. But I do read quite a bit, and I will admit I've never really been much of a DC guy. I've always been a Marvel guy.
Gotcha.
So no offense. There's some priceless Batman books that I've read, Hush, and some of the other stuff that have just been mind-blowingly good. But favorite comic book right now is Walking Dead.
Great comic.
By far one of the best comics I've ever read, and I'm excited for I can't do the issue-by-issue thing anymore. As a kid, I didn't have a choice, but now I'm kind of spoiled. I'm like, I'll wait till the whole run comes out, and I'll just get the trade paperback.
The trade paperback, yeah.
Got to consume, it's like House of Cards and Netflix. I like to be able to just do it all and binge on it all at once because, you don't want to put it down and have to wait 30 days.
No, so, I totally feel that. I totally get that.
So I'm waiting for the next five-issue trade paperback to come out so I can get back.
So do you have, if you could play any one superhero, what would it be if you got a role for a movie?
What's so funny is I was thinking this a couple of years ago, and I'm like, man, all the superhero, I'd be younger, I'd be starting out. What can I play? Where can I fit into like an ensemble cast or whatever? I'm like, I used to read West Coast Avengers growing up. Hawkeye was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed character.
Yeah.
And then the Avengers came out, and Jeremy Renner is Hawkeye. So I'm like, all right. So I guess we're back to square one. It's funny because it doesn't even matter. I mean, you don't have to like Tony Stark to be Tony Stark or anything like that in comic book. I mean, Samuel Jackson plays Nick Fury, who's, salt and peppered kind of George Pappard A-team looking guy in the comic books with an eye patch. So it doesn't really matter, but I always try to think who are the classic characters I grew up with that I kind of maybe could look like. And I remember in DC, if you're a DC fan, I always remember Booster Gold, and I always remember Animal Man. They were pretty cool, but I don't know. I mean, I'm not nearly as cool or enough of a tough guy to play the Punisher, but the Punisher has always been my favorite comic book.
Oh, my gosh, the Punisher. So, yeah, he's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's it in the perfect world. But, they've done three movies and they haven't got them right yet, so maybe there's a chance. Who knows?
Now, are you still working on your book? You were working on a book about actors, acting, I think.
It's been a little bit of a side project for me. It's just there's a lot of wonderful books on acting and Welcome to Hollywood and This Is What You Need to Do and This Is How You Do It and all that other fun stuff. But they're written by casting people, and a lot of them are wonderful, and I've read them all. But for a guy who got his start out here late and has kind of carved out a career on his own, through some luck and relationships and whatever else, there's not really a book that's written for actors by an actor. And so I was always kind of you know, I got a notebook going with all sorts of notes, and I've outlined chapters and whatever. And it's kind of a work in progress. You know, I'm still waiting to hit some more upper echelon levels of my career, so I really have some tales to share from the top and some advice for getting that stuff. But I've got the beginner stuff down, and you know, I'm thinking of just kind of publishing it for, you know, as an ebook or just something very cheap, or just something to kind of supplement the wonderful material that's already out there, just to give actors a taste of or just hearing stories from the other side of the camera. And I think that'd be valuable, and I think that that's something that's not out there. And you know, hopefully one day it'll happen. Right now I'm full tilt on the acting career, so
I think it's a great idea. When I saw that little you know, as I studied up and saw the part in the bio, I thought, you know, that's a great idea. So
yeah, and I think there's just I just think there's a need for it, and I think that there's a comfort level, you know. I love to be able to share some tips from Pound on the Pavement with my fellow acting warriors out there. So maybe one day, but I'm going off to shoot a movie soon, so that's kind of priority.
Yeah, great. We'll keep us posted.
I will. Thank you.
Absolutely. We have Lori on the phone. I'm going to turn it over to Amy and Lori to talk about Enchanted Con.
All right. Hey, Lori. Hey, Amy.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Chad. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Is this Amy or is this Lori? Who is this?
No, this one's Lori.
And I'm Amy.
Hi, Lori. Hi, Amy. Okay. All right. Now I got you apart.
So, Chad, Lori just announced that you were going to Enchanted Con. How excited are you?
I'm very excited. This will be my first convention. So I'm extremely excited.
Awesome. So she's got a couple of parties lined up. She's got a fairy tale party. Are you going to dress up?
fairy tale party. I did read about this. I remember seeing this in the paperwork. I guess Lori's going to have to enlighten me about what I should be wearing. Do I actually dress like a fairy, or do I get to pick my own, or will you have out for me there? It'll be my first fairy tale ball, I'll be honest.
Chad, you can dress comfortably.
Okay.
Whatever that
All
is.
Right. How about a tuxedo t-shirt? Will that work?
That works.
Okay, great.
It's kind of Prince Charming-like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's the South. I'm sure people in the South wear tuxedo t-shirts. They seem to be popular everywhere else. You know.
Oh, I don't know. But I can't wait to see you in one. It's going to be amazing.
Don't worry. I will dig a suit out of somewhere. It's cool. Don't worry. I won't bring shame upon my family name.
So, Lori, what is Chad signed up to do? What is he going to be doing at the convention?
He will be participating in the Saturday Night Banquet. That is for Diamond ticket holders only. He will be attending the Fairy Tale Ball. He will have photo ops on Sunday. He'll do an autograph session on Sunday and a Q&A session and the Sunday morning breakfast for Diamond ticket holders.
Nice. And tickets went on sale today, right?
Yes, they did.
So buy those Diamond tickets.
What was that?
I said, buy those Diamond tickets. Come to the ball with us.
That's right.
Exactly. I can't wait. I cannot wait to meet you, Chad.
Well, I can't wait to meet all of you. You're wonderful in the Twitter universe, and I always appreciate the support and the fun that we have online. So I don't expect to have any less fun in person. I think we might have a little bit more.
I think it'll be trouble. Trouble.
That's fine.
And I think Michelle and I will actually understand next time you tell us G to the Frank.
Oh, my God.
G to the Frank.
Yeah. We were like, wait, who's Frank?
That was so funny, Chad. That was so funny.
Chad, thank you for joining us tonight.
You're and very welcome. Thank you.
We
for
can
me.
Not wait to see you in your upcoming films, and definitely cannot wait to see you at Enchanted Con in November.
Well, thank you very much. I look forward to seeing you guys in November, and who knows? Maybe I'll pop up another one of these Once Upon a Time episodes, and you'll get more G to the Frank.
That'd be amazing. And
fans, you can keep up with Chad also at his website. It's chadmichaelcollins.com. So if you want to hear the latest and greatest, check out his website. Again, it's chadmichaelcollins.com.
And he changed his Twitter name. What did you change it to, Chad?
I made it a little less cryptic and went from ccollins32 to collinschadm. So just so no one gets put off by the 3-2, I don't know. Apparently there's a lot of Chad Collins out there, and I couldn't get my name to work any other way. So, you know, I'm trying to make it easy for people to find me. So I hope it didn't rock anyone's world.
Nope, no, we're just going to have to change it everywhere.
Yeah, sorry about that. Don't worry, I got to change it for
you now. Well, you have a great night, and we'll talk soon.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Thanks.
Bye, Chad.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Lori, tickets went on sale today.
Yes, they did.
So exciting. So, tell us, explain the tickets to us. Tell us everything.
Okay, well, we have the Diamond Ticket Package, which it's exclusive. There's only going to be 180 tickets sold, and you get exclusive parties with that ticket. One of them is the Friday Night Cocktail Party, and we have David Anders, Raphael Zbarge, Faustino Dabato, Michael Coleman, and David Paul Grove attending that Friday Night Cocktail Party. Then also the Diamond Ticket holders get a Saturday Night Banquet, which is a sit-down dinner, and the stars will be there. The Fairy Tale Ball, the stars will come and interact with all the fans at the Fairy Tale Ball, and that's for all the ticket packages. The Fairy Tale Ball is also sold separately, so if you get a general admission weekend ticket, you can also get the Fairy Tale Ball, so that one's for everybody. And then the Diamond Ticket holders also get a Sunday morning breakfast. The stars will come and attend that with them. And let's see what else we are doing for Diamond Ticket holders. They get 3 photo op tickets in their package, and they can use the photo op tickets for any individual photo. Let's see what else do Diamond. They get a swag bag with what I call convention weekend necessities.
Can you give us a hint what's going to be in the swag bags? Or is that like top secret?
No, not all of the things in there are top secret. It's really the convention survival kit bag. It's going to have little snacks in there. I'm working with a couple companies, you know, to put some of their products in there. Hand sanitizer, a black Sharpie, you know, things that will come in handy to them over the course
of the weekend. I know a lot of people are like, wait, hand sanitizer? Believe me, you want it. This is your first convention. You will walk away with a cold. No matter what you do, you are going to walk away with a cold. So, yes, hand sanitizer is a must.
So, you know, just those kind of neat things. Also, in the Diamond Ticket Package, they'll get an autograph, you know, from the different actors. I think it's a total of 6, and they're listed out on the website who's included in those autographs. So that's the Diamond Ticket Package in itself.
And the Diamond Ticket Package is $699, and you're only selling 180 of them.
Correct.
Now, are you doing like a payment plan?
Yes, we are doing a payment plan. You basically are going to put 30% down and then make equal monthly payments, with the balance being paid off by October 31st. And you can participate in the payment plan if your total package purchase, whether it be packages and extras or, you know, whatever it all is that you're buying, equals $449 or higher.
Okay. So what's next on your tickets?
The next level is Emerald. And with Emerald, you get 6 autographs, and they're listed out on the website who comes in that package. You get 2 photo op tickets to have your picture made with an individual guest. The fairy tale ball is included in that package. And that package is $449.
Okay.
Next level down from that is Sapphire. And with that package, you get 3 autographs, 1 photo op ticket, this ticket to the fairy tale ball, and that one, not sitting in front of the website, I know that's sad. I believe that one's
okay.
$249. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I will go check it for you. I was sending your guest list to someone. It is, the Sapphire is $269. And then you have the Ruby, and that is $159. And then you have the General. The General Weekend is $119. Friday is $25. Saturday is $40. And Sunday is $60. And that's just general admission. And then the extra tickets is the Saturday Night Fairy Tale Ball, which is $75. And then you have a VIP,
yes,
and you're going to
get the VIP ticket is separate from any other ticket, and basically that gets you VIP access for the whole weekend. You'll get to go, you know, kind of backstage before the guests come out for their Q&As and spend some time with them. You get special photo moments if you have other things. You get to go first in line for autographs, no matter where your seat is in the auditorium. And you also get to go first in line for photo ops.
Very cool.
As long as you have, you know, the photo op ticket.
Yeah. That is very cool. And then the meet and greet. Now, is that limited?
The meet and greets are limited to 10 fans per actor that's there. I believe David Anders, Raphael Zbarge, and Tony Amendola are doing 2 over the course of the weekend. So 2 separate. They'll do 1 on Saturday, and they're going to do 1 on Sunday.
Okay, and then you can buy that. You can buy that if you are just a general, right?
Yes. Anyone that purchases a ticket can buy that meet and greet ticket.
So I'm super excited. I cannot wait for this convention.
I am very excited. Very, very excited.
Now, a question on hotels. Now, can we book our hotels now?
They're not ready for us to book now. Their corporate is sending us a link to put on our website, and they have to get it set up within their computer system.
Mm-hmm.
But I can say that there is no time limit. So you can book your hotel a month before the event as long as you say you're with EnchantaCon.
Okay. And it's going to be at the DoubleTree?
Yes, DoubleTree by Hilton at Orlando SeaWorld. So it's right next door to SeaWorld as well.
Oh, I'm so going to SeaWorld. Michelle, we got to go down 2 days before.
Okay.
Because I'm going to SeaWorld.
Only 2 days?
Well, Lori, can we stay with you for a month?
Sure. Come on down.
Lori, well, we'll have to go down early enough to go to SeaWorld, take care of other stuff, and then go help Lori.
Yes. Because we are going to help Lori as much as we can because we
love
her.
Absolutely.
Aw, I love you guys. I'm actually going to arrive in Orlando on Wednesday.
Okay.
So we will be there Tuesday and have every, like, coffee, baked goods, everything that you need to make sure you are happy.
Wow.
Yay.
Dang. I like that. I'm sure the EnchantaCon staff is going to like that, too.
We do. We love Lori. You guys just don't know how much we love her. We met Lori a couple years ago, and when she told me she was putting on this con, and she was like, don't you guys talk about it Once Upon a Time on Mondays? And I was like, yes, we do, and we will definitely talk about your con every chance we get.
You guys are great. I love you guys just as much.
No, it is very exciting to that you're doing the con, and it's exciting, you know, getting to know you and support you in a new adventure, and I'm just really excited. So
it's going to be a definite good time, that is for sure.
It
I
is.
I have a great staff, and, you know, it's going to be awesome. I don't have another word for it.
And the cast
Some
list
of the ideas.
Is amazing.
Yes. I am very pleased and very happy with the cast that I've put together. You know, and I'm not done. I mean,
yeah, you've still got plenty of time to maybe capture some more.
Yeah, I'm not.
You
done.
Never know.
My goal is to have 10. That's what I want. I think with 10, the actors, you know, there'll be a wide range of, you know, different fan bases that are out there, because once upon a time is a huge fandom, but then they have these little individual fandoms that go along with them, and I think that's really cool. I mean, that was really one of the main reasons why I chose this one to do. I spent a lot of time researching it and looking at all the different mini fandoms that are out there, the Evil Regals and, you know, the Charmings and the Hooks and, you know, all of those little different things. So it was very intriguing. And I just, the fandom, the way they're interacting, I know they're going to come together. They're going to have a great time, meet new friends, meet people in person that they've been talking to for the last year and a half.
I am just excited that somebody's finally doing a Once Upon a Time con. Because I see, you know, because I think Once Upon a Time is going to be around for quite a while, and I see your conventions, you know, being like a second home for us fans.
That's the feel that we want to give the fans when they're there at the convention. That we, you know, the whole place is a family.
And it's going to be so magical.
And I cannot wait. My first,
I know.
When I walked into, a Renaissance Festival for the first time, and I know I was transformed back, and with the ideas that your team has, I got a feeling that I'm going to feel like I'm transferred back again. Just with really cute guys. Because have you seen her guest lineup? Every man on there is a gorgeous. And I will behave myself, Lori. I promise.
I promise. Have no doubt that you will, Amy.
Lori knows I talk a big game, but I'm a little quiet puppy.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thanks for listening to us tonight. Lori, thank you so much for coming on and letting us support you in Enchanted Con. We just adore you.
Thank you. I love you guys. I'll see you guys real soon.
Yep, have a good week.
You too.
All right.
Bye.
So, guys, we will be back next week. Do we get Once Upon a Time next week, or do we have to wait another week?
I did not pull it. Sorry, Amy.
I think we have to wait another week. Let me go look real quick.
I'm looking real quick. I am.
Okay.
I'm pulling it.
Let's see who's faster. Michelle's doing it on a computer. I'm doing it on the phone. Let's see if 5G or 4G is faster than Michelle's computer.
Next episode's 421, Lacey.
So, yes, we get it this weekend, this Sunday. It's about time.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody watch? I mean, I didn't get to watch the little talking about the, you know, the writers and the directors on there talking about it. To me, I love it. I love stuff like that, but I knew if I watched it, I would just drive myself crazy for a week and a half.
Right. I tell you what I did like about it. I actually did watch it, and one, it was nice hearing the directors and them talk about it, and they did like a story, and Once Upon a Time, this is what happened, blah, 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 and then it would go to the directors and talk about it, and then back at the Enchanted Forest, this is what would happen. You know, so it was actually kind of neat how they did that. It also, my favorite part about the whole thing is that if you haven't been watching the show, or say you missed a few episodes, or you got behind, or say you decided to skip around, it definitely did a good job of kind of recapping and filling in some of the blanks, I thought, wow, that did a really good job of filling in, you know, a lot of the main characters and a recap of their storyline and where it's at. So that was my favorite part, is they did a good job of recapping all of it into one nutshell.
Very cool. I would like some, I thought when they were talking about, you know, like they said you're going to get some backstory and stuff like that, I thought they were going to show some backstories. Did they?
No. Yeah. It was more, no. Yeah, it was more of a...
Just a recap.
Yeah, it was. I mean, when they talked about some of the backstories, they actually talked more in detail about that backstory. Like when they were talking about Hook and how tragic it was with his struggle with gold and losing his hand, and all of a sudden, and there we have Captain Hook. You know, I mean, and that's how we created Captain Hook. So in some ways, I may have added a little tidbit here and there that may have not been on screen when we watched the first episode. But as far as, like, doing a whole different backstory, no.
Okay.
There were bits and pieces to different characters. They gave us a little more detail, I guess, just if that helps a little.
Okay. So we'll be back next Monday at 9 o'clock. And tomorrow we have Rick Hausman on from Lost Girls. He plays Trick, a.k.a. the Blood King. And then we will have Revolution. Right? Revolution does come on
yes.
tonight, right?
Yes.
And then Wednesday, we will have Sam Whitworth from Being Human. He plays Aiden. And I'm not in front of my calendar right now, but I think we have somebody on from Cult. Yes, James, and I cannot pronounce his last name right now. You guys all know I'm bad with last names. He plays Nate in Cult, and he will be on. And then that will be our end of our week. And The Vampire Diaries. The Vampire Diaries will be
yes.
back. Our recap for The Vampire Diaries will be back on Friday at 1 p.m. And then Friday night we will have the recap of Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Our schedule is all over the place right now because of our interviews. So we will try to recap Lost Girl and interview Rick tomorrow. Revolution will be on at 9. Wednesday we have only an interview. Thursday we'll have only an interview because Arrow's not on. And then Friday we will have our recaps of Vampire Diaries, Game of Thrones. Saturday we will have Nikita. Sunday we'll have The Following. And then that brings us back to Monday. We do a lot of shit.
Yay! We're awesome.
We are awesome.
And if you want to hear something different, fans, let us know.
Exactly. And hopefully
we want it to
be
about you guys.
And hopefully we can add it to our lineup because we need some spring and summer shows. We only have a couple, but if you guys really want to, you know, hear us on air talk about your shows, let us know. But until then, I'm Amy.
I'm Michelle.
And this is Once Upon a Time Recaps. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Do you love movies, music, books, television? You do? Then come on over to the VRO on Blog Talk Radio. We have shows for all your obsessions. Vampires, we've got them. The latest blockbuster movies, they're right here. Bands and books, music and fiction, it's all at the VRO. What are you waiting for? Log on to the VRO today. www.thevro.com.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can seem intense. Like breakup R&B intense.
I thought you said you loved the sweater that I got you. If you didn't, you could have told me.
Geico makes it easy. Just go to Geico.com anytime to update or check your policy. Without all the extra drama.
I even had a different